meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. Good Monday. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Father.
How you doing, Nick?
I don't know about being a good Monday,
why?
To be honest with you. So many technical problems
around here. Oh, tell
me
about
it.
That's it.
It's Monday mood and everything. That's it.
But
we're on air and everything. That's the good part about it.
There you go.
So many issues with that.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's been the story of my day. Computer problems. Trying to access information.
There you go.
How are you, Jerry?
I'm fine, Father. Yeah. I have nothing to do with computers.
Yeah.
I am just free of all
you
of this.
You are free. You are
yes.
completely free. Tony?
Hi. How are you, Father?
Good. Is Christina coming?
Yeah, she's on her way.
Okay. Well, I tell you what happened to me. Well, the Pope is gone.
Pope is gone.
The Holy Father is flying high.
Back to Rome.
He's back in Rome now. So what a wonderful experience, really. I mean, talk about a wonderful celebration. I don't know if you guys were able to tune in, or did you see much?
I actually got to see a little of it. And it's different than if you hear the soundbite. You know what I mean?
Just, sure.
There's certain reporting on it, but if you like, I was looking at EWTN, and you see the whole thing, and you get it from a different perspective.
Different perspective. Yeah. When you talk about reporting, you mean commentaries?
Yeah, the commentary, just the way it's reported, things like that.
Yeah.
I hope to be able to read what he actually said.
That's what I want.
I don't need all this other stuff. I don't need it.
What don't you need, Jerry?
I don't need everybody's comments on everything, because I make comments on everything myself.
Well, I want to make some commentary
today.
Well,
you can do that, Father, but I'm saying in general, I don't want to hear them.
All right.
It's interesting, because I guess from people of faith, the comments are different. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that just by listening to different sources. I mean, it's something I like doing.
So what would be the, what's the difference between people of faith as opposed to...
Well, people of faith aren't really looking at all the, I don't know, the sensational parts. But like Jerry says, I want to listen to his words. And
sure.
I think people, even the coverage I was looking at, you tend to see the people happy around the Pope.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, it's not like it's like a superstar or anything. I'm following a superstar. I mean, you can generally see it in people's faces. I mean... You're almost in awe.
Yeah.
The man is, just from what you see, he's humble, and you can see that.
Sure.
And just the fact that he's, you know, he's trying to speak in English, which I'm thinking, wow, you know, although I would rather, maybe just me personally,
sure.
I'd like to hear his own, in his own language.
In his own language,
know?
Yeah.
Which to me, you know, I can have somebody translating, but a lot of times it really doesn't translate well. But just the fact that he's attempting to speak in English,
right.
And you listen to his voice, and again, in contrast, I hear how other people are making fun of that. But
oh,
I mean,
really?
Yeah, and I just, by actually hearing it, it's just a man who's, you know, all humble, just trying to speak, communicate in our language, you know, in English.
It's interesting when you watch him as he's... delivering his homily or his address or his exhortation in English, watching it is one thing. It is interesting, you know. I was listening on the radio, and they had some taping of his, and it's very, very hard to understand. But when you're actually watching it, that's a horse of a different color.
So, like information itself, I mean, when you're actually seeing it, it's better because then, as Jerry says, people pick and choose and puts her own meanings or their own mm-hmm. explanation into things, and just to see it live as it's happening is sure. something else.
Yeah, not to what. So let's talk about the response of the people before we, because actually his the address. I mean, I've read it all, Jerry. Mm-hmm. I've read it all, you know, and it's just a beautiful, really
mm-hmm.
beautiful. Now it's interesting how even people will take things yeah. still out of context.
Oh, sure.
Well, you expect that to happen.
Yeah,
but that's why you know to get the things within the full context of the address. But it's you can't argue anything that he has said. He's 100% a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say that because some people think he's, you know, taking us down a road that that is contrary to the faith, but that's not the case. It's certainly the tone mm-hmm. from the beginning of his papacy, the tone has changed. Even when I say that, I got to step back because this is a thing that I find interesting, and maybe we spoke about it last week, I don't know, but I keep hearing commentators mm-hmm. say that, well, for the first time
yeah.
we have
mm-mm.
a pope for the people and
no.
and all that. And I keep thinking, well, what, I mean, who was John Paul II?
Exactly.
And even Pope Benedict.
Mm-hmm.
I say even Pope Benedict because the poor guy was, you know, the media didn't like him. Mm-hmm. They didn't like him.
He was thrown under the bus from the beginning.
He was. But he was very humble, and even Pope Benedict, you know, had more pilgrims were going to
yes.
Rome, or in audience, than even under Pope John Paul II. And it's not to even put down Pope John Paul II because he was, well, because I tell you, he went out. I mean, mm-hmm. Pope Benedict did too, but John Paul II, well, we had 27 years
yeah.
of his papacy. And so he was all over the world and, you know, gathered millions of people to himself. He was kissing babies and very much a charismatic
yes.
personality. So I find it interesting that when I keep hearing and hear this over and over mm-hmm. and over again, that, well, for the first time, we've got a people's a pope.
Mm-hmm.
We've got somebody who's going to finally, and I don't know what they mean when they talk about the change the face
right.
of Catholicism. Change
they don't
the face.
Know what they mean know. When they say
yeah.
it.
No.
Believe me.
So it's almost as if, you know, everything that came before Pope Francis mm-hmm. was, you know, oppressive and dark and antiquated. And it's very interesting, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm. You know? See, that's the way they are. And that's the one thing I've noticed in the last maybe 10, 12 years, because I've started to pay attention to this. You know, when you're there, you're the flavor of the day, you're the flavor of the
right,
minute
right.
or whatever.
Sure, sure.
But once you're gone,
sure.
and I make and break you. And
yeah.
I think that's what people, when I say I make and break, it's the media. That's yeah. what I, if they like you, sure. You know, I remember, was it Pope John Paul II? The way he would engage, there was no taking his words in mixing them. He kind of said the way,
right.
and every pope is different. Every person is different.
Right.
But I think that's the media. I mean, they make and break you.
Yeah, that's
way.
Very interesting as you say that, because I actually trying to download different, I really stayed with CBS for some reason because I thought they had nice coverage. And I wanted to see it from a more secular perspective. That's
mm-hmm.
why I didn't even try to tap into EWT, and I
but
don't have
another interesting thing is we forget. As time goes by.
Sure.
Because, I mean, the way it is, you're, like I said, you're the flavor of the minute. You're the flavor of the, you know, day. But once that day's gone, when you think back, that's what I think it takes a mind to sit back and digest everything
sure.
before you commentate, before you, you know, listen to the whole story before you start doing things.
I have to say that the commentary that I,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the commentary, the negative commentary was after the fact.
Yeah.
But if you're watching the media coverage, it was all very positive.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
very, not only positive, but you'd think that everybody was Catholic because there was just, there just seemed to be this great interest in embracing the message, because
yeah.
how could you not embrace the message?
Exactly.
Or the person of the Pope as well, because he really has an affection for the people. You can see that. So I have to say that, you know, we were blessed to have that coverage, really blessed for all the negative things that we so often speak about, you know, the negative attitude toward the church or the teachings of the church or the perceived teachings, the why we do this or that or whatever, you know. Here comes, you know, the Pope, and there's this this enthusiasm and this sense of celebration. And it's so photogenic, Everything about it is photogenic. So it's just, it's a beautiful thing. But it's after the, you know, listening to different radio commentators and all that, and or even reading a copy, you know, paper, newspaper, magazines, commentaries, you know, I just get it all off the internet. But from the secular press, but also from the religious press, some very scathing things about the Pope that he, you know, for instance, from the religious press, well, that he didn't speak about Jesus. He didn't, you know, he came across as, well, you know, then what are you listening to? Because, you know, it was all there. Or, you know, that he didn't emphasize the, he wasn't pro-life, or that he was more, that it was all about the environment. Well, was it all about the environment? I mean, there, in fact, his talk to the UN, he began with the environment, but immediately he tied it to the people, to the poor, to the discarded, and in a very, I said he didn't leave a rock unturned. And see, go ahead.
I think that's the difference, and I found that too. Going into it, I was a little negative because of what I was hearing, the commentary.
Negative commentary.
Right, but when I actually sat down and listened to him speak and was watching, being engaged, I started thinking, okay, here's a man I've heard of for so long in Rome, but here he was, or here he is now in the States. And it was a different thing, and it's, you don't... In listening to him, I wasn't thinking about what he should have said and what he didn't say. I was paying attention to what he said. And even I liked even the things you were saying that I never heard. When you listen to the words, when we, you know, when he's speaking to the bishops or when he was speaking to, you know, Congress itself, when you hear the words, it's a whole different thing.
Right.
That's why you have to go directly to the source. That's why the other day when we were talking with Jerry, I said, you have to pray about it too. And this where... You have to listen to him and pray about it. Say, Lord, give me the wisdom and the understanding. Give me the humility.
The humility,
To hear and listen to what you're telling us, because God is speaking through
him.
Exactly. But give me the disposition to hear what you want your people to hear. Not what I want, not what he wants, not what so-and-so wants, what you want.
Put aside the agenda.
Yes.
Put aside
and you have to realize that people are there who want to belittle everything he says. There will be nothing correct that he says. They will find fault with everything that he says, and they're proud of it. They're proud of that, and that wears me down. I just don't care for that.
Well, you know, for instance, and again, I'll go back to the pro-life, and of course, some of the commentary, very interesting. You know, some of the commentary thinking, well, the pro-life people, he did not, and it's almost as if, you know, gleefully saying, well, the Pope didn't play into their agenda. Well, he certainly did, because he spoke in defense of life, and he did this over and over and over again, but he wasn't obsessed with it. He wasn't obsessed with it, nor was he obsessed with really anything but the message of, you know, that we've got to, that we're certainly people of God, we've got to take care of each other. We've got to look into the face of the poor, you know, he uses often the word the discarded, the little ones. You know, it's but there was this sense of celebration. So in a sense, I'll tell you. Anyway, so that's just one thing. You know, that I was surprised to hear that people complain that either they complained because it didn't, you know, he didn't seem to be.
It's not what they wanted to hear.
Attentive to pro-life, or those who are against, perhaps, the pro-life movement, because they feel like with the pro-life, well, they must be pretty sad today because he really didn't make that his issue. Well, it was part of his, all this was, it was pretty, He seemed, like I said, he didn't leave a rock.
Look
unturned.
At the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Quit picking on the little pieces that you want to find.
He didn't come. He didn't come to scold.
No.
You know,
he
really.
No.
He really. He came to lift us up. It seems to me, and to lift us up in truth. In truth, I talked to people, a couple of people who had previously a very negative impression of Pope Francis because, as you said, Tony, and as we've said, you know, sometimes he just speaks off the cuff, and things are, you know, well, what did he say? And or things are taken out of context unless we, again, go to the source.
Mm-hmm.
What
to.
Did he say? Put it within the context.
And a lot is lost. I have to say again, I listened to him when he spoke in Spanish, and I heard the translations, and a lot, I have to say, is lost in the translation.
Yeah.
There's nothing like, I wish I could speak more Italian, because he spoke in Italian also, but it does make a difference when you go directly to the source. Forget about what people are, their opinions. It's what God wants.
Sure.
We have to listen to that and open our hearts and our minds to him.
Yeah, one of the things that I certainly feel very much challenged as well. In fact, it was interesting because I had written the letter in the bulletin. I don't know if you read that. You should read that.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, did you read it?
I did, Father.
You know, what did I say? No, I'm not going to ask you. No, I can put you on the spot. But I received a message this morning that, you know, and it's true. It's true. You know, they said, look at the tone of your letter and put that alongside the tone of the Pope, you know, because he exudes joy. He exudes optimism. He exudes hope. I felt that I was slapped on the hand a little bit, you know, because I spoke of the cultural suicide that is taking place in the West.
In
the letter, I mentioned that.
Sure.
And that if we don't return to God, then the worst is yet to come. And so that's a downer. You know, people don't want to hear that. But I did. But I think I built it. You know, built up to that and saying that, you know, we've used the Shema, love the Lord your God
right.
with your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit. The sign of the cross is a shield of protection. And I did speak, and I believe this, that if we walk away from God, we remove ourselves from God's protection. Now, God is always there to protect, but if we refuse His protection, you know, and the thing is, and I was thinking about this because this was a constructively critical response to my letter. But I thought, you know, when you're dealing on a day-to-day basis with some of the horrible tragedies of life and things that shouldn't happen, and, you know, quite frankly, and that was the gospel yesterday, Jesus says, anybody who leads one of these little ones astray, better that a millstone be put around their neck, be thrown in the sea and drown. Now, those are very strong words. Jesus says, if your hand is the cause of your sin, cut it off. Better to go into heaven with one hand than into Gehenna, a place of fire with two hands. So, Jesus doesn't mean literally to do that, but he's making a very strong statement about the need to stay with me, be true to the commandments, and of course, you know, he balances that certainly with mercy. He's with the sinners. He certainly challenges the Pharisees and scribes, and I see the Pope doing the same thing. You know, we're the Pharisees. I tell you, in many ways, we feel like the Pharisees and the scribes because he is challenging. It's okay. The tone has to change. Well, but then I have to ask myself: is my tone? Is it a negative tone?
No.
You know, Father, it makes me think. We talked about this before. The different tones and styles. Like, for instance, St. John the Baptist, he was very direct.
Exactly.
Repent, you know, this is what it is. That was truth. God is truth. Jesus had a different tone. The saints had different tones. Truth is truth. There's just different tones and different ways, different styles of saying, but there's only one truth.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm just thinking about my own personal life. You know, even as I go back and I think about my years of formation as a priest and even through the priesthood, I'm always looking for somebody to challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
And now, the Pope Francis does challenge me. It challenges me to look at myself and ask myself, how am I communicating the gospel message?
Mm-hmm.
But I know for myself, because I see so often the stuff going on all around me, but even for my own personal life, mm-hmm. I like to be challenged. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things about Pope John Paul II. He certainly engaged with, he was very much involved with, yeah. with the people, really. But he went, and he was very, very strong. He had very, very strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like that. I like it. Pope Benedict was strong, but in a very meek kind of a way, because he was, that's the sure. way he was. He's a very meek man, not in a negative sense, but that's his character, his personality. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe, I don't know if I do this via the radio, but I think in the homilies, I think I'm somewhat direct and somewhat strong yeah. In the way I communicate the faith, and maybe that's a turnoff to some people. I don't think I'm unjust. I think there's mercy, I would hope. Mm-hmm. You know?
I keep thinking, and this is so true, and I said a little bit about this earlier, people are really at different places.
They have their
own agendas, mm-hmm. and you could really listen to the Word of God and get angry at Him and then leave. Or you can sit down and say, aren't you supposed to challenge me, my God? You are. And that's what, you know, you take that humility and you say, you know, maybe this is what He wants me to know.
Well, go back to what Christina said, mm-hmm. the difference between Jesus and John the Baptist.
Exactly.
And even in the gospel, there was I forget the passage, but they're looking at both the characters of John the Baptist mm-hmm. and Jesus. Mm-hmm. John the Baptist was an ascetic. He didn't eat, he didn't drink. He mm-hmm. you know, he was very very
he was very strict, or I'm not strict, but he was very ascetic.
Very strict. Yeah, he was very disciplined. Extreme, to the extreme
yes.
almost, that people were offended by that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, on the other hand, not to exaggerate it, but they seem to exaggerate it, he went to the parties, I guess. He drank and he ate. You know, did they call him a glutton? I think
a drunkard and a glutton.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a drunkard and a glutton.
And you looked at him, and he didn't look like any. Well, because he wasn't.
So, but you get. So they made these two. They people picked up and mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. perverted or distorted the person of John mm-hmm, the Baptist
sure.
and the person of Jesus, because they were challenged by both mm-hmm. persons. You know, so let's.
They both spoke the truth,
and they were both killed for it.
They
both lost their lives for it. But it's but again, the gospel, there's a balance there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it can't be all, you know, hugs and smiles and all that.
Silly grins
nor can it be
stern
and harsh mm-hmm. and demeaning. It certainly can't be, because that would be anti-Christian. That would be contrary to the faith. And I certainly wouldn't accuse myself of being demeaning or harsh, but it's just sometimes if you speak the truth in a strong way,
some people
may be offended by that mm-hmm. because they're too. It's like, well, you know, I've got to change my ways.
Because mm-hmm. you're challenging them, and God, He's a merciful, loving God. He loves us very much, but He doesn't spoil us. When He has to challenge us, when He has to reprimand us, He will do it, because He's a just God in a loving way.
Exactly, and as a matter of fact, the Pope Francis, and many have recognized this in him, he does scold at times. You know, he really does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't seem to do it over here, but in Rome, you know, as mm-hmm. he's speaking, often off the cuff, when he speaks off the cuff. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll look at some. By the way, don't mean for when we come back, we'll talk about Abraham. Because I had this interesting thought while he was here. Because it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And we got to talk a little bit about what the people everywhere, in New York, in Washington, in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. the Pope had something to say about all different places, the three different places. He was just amazed with the warmth mm-hmm. that he received in Washington, and the exuberance. I think he called it New York, very exuberant. And in Philadelphia, very much alive. There was a liveliness. Mm-hmm. He spoke about that on the plane, you know. So anyway, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stas has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stas is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.com. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.com. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stas. One church, many cultures. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. St. Stas is a school for families who want their child to be in a real-world diverse setting with children of mixed races, ethnicities, and cultures, religions, and socioeconomic backgrounds, and where they will not only be empowered to excel in reading, math, and science, but also leadership, social, and emotional skills that will help them succeed in whatever they do for the years to come. St. Stas School has the programs to make that possible. Our teachers have worked diligently to create a robust and innovative curriculum. But in today's constantly evolving world, simply knowing how to solve math problems isn't enough. When it comes to succeeding in school or later in life, research shows social and emotional intelligence has become more important than ever. This is why the heart of St. Stas experience lies in our unique blend of social and academic learning. As a community of faith and leadership, St. Stas challenges our students to achieve academic and social excellence, to lead courageously by action and example, and to serve and love God through others. St. Stas School equips your child with tools they need to excel in whatever they do. We have programs such as the Leader in Me program, based upon Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Second Step Social-Emotional Curriculum, the Reading and Writing program of Columbia University, the University of Chicago's Everyday Math, and Hands-On Approach to K-8 Next Generation Science Standards. Learn, lead, love. Join the St. Stas family. We're accepting applications for the 2015-2016 school year. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560 or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway, part of the Wicker Park, Westtown, and Bucktown community. For more information about St. Stas School, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks. What happened there?
Do okay. you have loved ones?
Whoops, we got a commercial again.
I don't know if I did that because I missed one of those buttons.
That happens.
I'm working on this.
Technical difficulties. All morning it's been like that.
I was just saying, I was telling the three stooges here that
the three wise
who came
guys
in?
the three wise persons. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting. All right.
On cue.
Jerry, it's not right.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be.
That was right.
But you got to be careful. You never know who you're going to meet. And so exactly. I took a worker from here, had to go to work after she works here. And then it was late after the masses yesterday on Sunday. And so I took her, gave her a ride to Arlington Heights. Didn't realize it was so far away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the end of the day, and I thought, I'd just go for a ride anyway. So I said, I'll take you rather than she has to go on the bus or the whatever. Bus, train.
Mm-hmm.
I think she could train, bus, whatever.
Public transportation.
So I was coming back. There's all this construction on the Kennedy, and I've got this little tiny car, and it's dark outside, and I don't like to take it on the expressway anyway. And, boy, you see some really strange things. This motorcycle was just
yes.
so fast, and a woman was on the back of the motorcycle, and it just all these things go through my head,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yep.
What could happen there? And she was wearing short shorts and all that.
And they weren't wearing helmets.
No helmets.
That's
but anyway, so I was coming back down the Kennedy, and they're doing this construction, so I know you got to pay the toll. And those who have to pay cash, you have to go to the far right. Mm-hmm. So I was on the far right, and then end up going on 290. I think it's 290 or 294.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a little bit angry because I did that once before, and it took me all the way around Chicago.
You were cruising.
Got to the tow booth, and I was just wearing a white shirt, you know. Mm-hmm. And the woman in the tow booth, she said, I said, first of all, I asked her, I said, yeah, what, you know, what's, what, how do I get back? You know, there's the Irving Park exit. Can I maybe I'll just take Irving Park all the way into Chicago? Or is it how difficult to get back on the 290 or whatever and get to the 90? I don't know. The point is, it's just
you were lost.
I was lost, and I didn't want to expend too much energy trying to figure out how to get back.
Sure.
And I certainly didn't want to do it while I was driving.
Oh no. Mm-hmm.
And she said, so she told me, and she said, are you a father? You're a father? And I said, yes, you know. You mean a priest?
Mm-hmm.
She said, yes. She said, I know the voice. You're at the St. Stan's. Or she couldn't remember the name of the church. I said, I'm at St. Stan's.
Right.
She said, yes. She said, I was there for a
First communion.
And
last year.
She said, you know, Sylvia Morales. And
right.
So it's Tony's
I got to find out exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's someone, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Because she named the husband as well, and I couldn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so odd. But she recognized me by the voice.
The voice.
It's the voice.
The voice. It's strange. But I just say, anywhere I go now, I'm meeting somebody.
Right.
You know, so I turn a corner and somebody I haven't seen in 20 years or whatever.
Sure.
So, but anyway, back to the visit,
mm-hmm.
the pastoral visit of the Holy Father. It was very intriguing to me, the people's response
mm-hmm.
to the Pope. Do you want to say something about that? The crowds?
Father, I was one of my cousins. She was visiting New York, and she happened to be there. She didn't even know. She ran into the crowd. And that's when the Pope passed by, and she even put that she was in tears.
Wow.
She said, and she filmed it, so I got to see it, and how the people are cheering, and Papa, and Francisco, and she was so moved. She said she was in tears, and somebody else that went to Washington, she was on one of the pilgrimages to the Holy Land when we went in, I don't remember what year, Father, but we went with another group from the parish.
Sure.
And she went with her sister, and she filmed it. And he was passing, he was going slow. And just hearing it, I can't even imagine being there, but just hearing it over here, just through the phone on the film, what she filmed, it gave me chills.
People waited five hours for 10 to 20 seconds
mm-hmm.
of seeing the Pope.
Yes.
And they said, you know, in the interviews, they just, it was like the experience of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the superstar. By the way, he was asked about that on the plane, and he's about what it's like to be a superstar. I don't know if I brought it down with me or not, but he said, "Well, you know, stars fall."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "It's not that I relish in being a superstar, because he says I'm not. He says I'm a servant. I got it right here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a star, but the servant of servants." Of God.
It's beautiful.
Because they asked him about the power that he has.
Mm-hmm.
He says, no, this is a power that comes in servitude and serving
mm-hmm.
and serving. I thought it was very interesting. But it is something about the papacy, something about
mm-hmm.
Peter, the successor of Peter, the vicar of Christ. And I do believe, and I agree with you 100%, Christina, that it's an opportunity for all of us to, if we have faith, you know,
mm-hmm,
going back
sure.
to what Tony was saying, you know, in the beginning, but we approach this in faith,
mm-hmm.
and we may have our axes to grind, our agendas, our own personal agendas. This is what I would want the Pope to say,
mm-hmm.
But maybe he didn't, but he's the Pope.
Sure.
He's the vicar of Christ. And so to be disposed because we believe and trust that the Lord is speaking
mm-hmm.
to us through him.
Yes.
And see, the thing is, you know, before he came, and he does this all the time, he always stops by St. Mary Major to entrust the pilgrimage or his visitation to Our Lady.
Wow.
And I think that says something, you know, not only that, but the fact is that he is he's conscious of who he is, and even said, in fact, let me just, I got it right here. I think it was at the very end. I thought it was, let's see. Okay, yes. So the question, this is on the plane,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know, the questions. Actually, some of those are the most interesting things, is when people ask him questions
mm-hmm.
and he responds. But the question was, Holy Father, you have become a star in the United States. Is it good for the church if the Pope is a star? And he says, the Pope must Do you know that the title was of the Pope that ought, and this is, the translation is pretty poor. I don't know if he's speaking in broken English or, I don't know, he's not, he does not speak English.
No.
He speaks very little.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the Pope must, he says, do you know that the title was of the Pope that ought to be used, servant of the servants of God?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different from the stars. Stars are beautiful to look at. I like to look at them in the summer when the sky is clear. But the Pope must be the servant of the servants of God. Yes, in the media, this is happening, but there's another truth. How many stars have we seen that go out and fall?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fleeting thing.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, being servant of the servants of God is something that doesn't pass.
Mm. Yeah. Yes.
But anyway, again, I think the to have the humility to listen,
mm-hmm.
to listen, to be challenged, and to ask ourselves, you know, when there is maybe some criticism, is he wrong in saying what he said? I mean, again, if you look at everything that he said, you can't argue any of this. And he didn't say, you know, the Pope didn't say a country shouldn't protect its borders, but he did say, you know, that the immigrants have faces.
Yes.
And we have to look into their faces. These are men and women, mm-hmm. and children. They are our brothers and sisters. He didn't say the nation shouldn't protect its border. In fact, in speaking to the immigrants, he said, be good citizens of the land. And he didn't say exactly obey the laws, but he said something to that effect. I remember reading that, you know, to be good citizens of the land and contribute to the well-being of the nation that you've come into. And he never spoke about illegal, nothing. He just spoke to people.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. Again, the whole environmental question, I really looked at that, all that he said to the United Nations. And it was interesting, as I've said already, but he delved into the question of the environment, but in a beautiful way. And he's got to, really, because there's a fixation on this in the world today. And his challenge is don't stop there, because what is integral to the environment is human beings, and that we live in a society that discards. But he talked about that, discarding human beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he did say, you know, that everybody should have access to lodging, to the land, and to, what was the other one?
Work? No.
Work, labor.
Work, labor.
Labor, the three L's. Lodging, labor, and
land.
The land. And he, how often in the course of this visitation did he speak about work?
Mm-hmm.
The nobility and the good of work, and that we all have a responsibility to work. You know, so it wasn't I've heard people say that he's perpetuating this idea of a welfare state. That's not at all.
No.
Not at all. Or that we should just have open borders. Not at all. A nation must protect its borders. But again, so this brings me to the question of Abraham. Because I was thinking about this over the weekend, watching him. Well, let me go ahead and say that, and we'll come back to the people's response. And then what are some of the overall overarching themes of his visitation and really of his papacy? Because even his talk to the nations was basically his encyclical on
the environment?
The environment.
Something with the home. I forgot.
Well, our common home.
Home, common home.
That was an overriding theme, mm-hmm. you know. But I was thinking about Abraham, you know, because Jesus, that's when God, Yahweh, intervenes. His the first revelation of himself in a very pointed and very direct way was to Abraham, which really began the sojourn of Abraham that would lead to the development of a nation, and that from this nation the Messiah would come and go out to all the nations. And because of the obedience of Abraham, God said, you will be the father of many nations, of many nations. You're not even able to count the people. you will father. So thinking about that, and because it's also this sense of connection, that everything is connected, and that's one of the things that the Pope makes in his talk to the UN, is this, everything is connected. Everything is connected, and our connection to history. So that we'll just take Abraham, who was obedient, did the will of God, died not seeing the fruits of his labor. He died not with no idea what it meant to be the father of many nations. Mm-hmm. And so it happens, you know, from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. Until, what, almost 2,000 years later, certainly almost 1,900 years later, the Messiah is born of woman into a family. And Jesus, the Messiah, will then take this nation and move this nation beyond itself to go out to all the nations, to the four corners of the earth, to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And he establishes or builds a new covenant, which comes out of the old covenant. So it's a transition from the old into the new. And he'll build this on the pillar of the 12 apostles, with Peter as the rock. Jesus is the capstone. Peter is the rock upon which the church would be built. The church would be Catholic, universal. It would be one church, a holy church, a Catholic church, an apostolic, divided, no doubt. He prayed that it wouldn't be, knowing all the well that it would be. Mm-hmm. And so there is much division. By the way, the Pope sees himself as a bridge. He says that, I think, a number of times, trying to bridge the peoples. So here we are, 2,000 years later, and you have this successor, Peter, the vicar of Christ, the visible head of the church, because, of course, Christ is the head of the church. The Pope has a special charism to safeguard and protect the faith and to keep us moving in the direction God wants us to go.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is in the United States, and you think of all these people coming to him. He's going to be in Africa. I don't know when, but it was announced just before he came here. He's been to Korea, South mm-hmm. Korea. He's been to
Cuba,
to the Philippines. He's been to...
Was he Brazil?
Brazil, to Brazil. So, like Pope John Paul II, but in any case, the point is the father of all nations,
mm-hmm.
El Papa, no?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, you know, is everybody... So I was intrigued by the response of the people.
And the people.
And again, you know, what does it say? What's being communicated there? We'll take a break. We'll come mm-hmm. back and maybe talk a little bit more about that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.com. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.com. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's. One church, many cultures. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Can you imagine living a life without love, marriage, intimacy, sex, having children, or friendship? Of course not. I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why do we desire these things so much? It is because God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a union and communion of persons who united himself with us in what the Scripture describes as a mystical marriage, a fruitful self-giving. Scripture also says that we are made in God's image and likeness, so we too are called to become a union and communion of persons in fruitful self-giving. This is why we cannot imagine living without marriage, intimacy, sex, having children, and friendship. Pope John Paul II said in his Theology of the Body that these are the very things that make us most like God. To find out more about the Theology of the Body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're basically this morning, Monday, talking about the Holy Father, his visit. He's back in Rome, with the Holy See, the Vatican. The people, again, go back to the people. Again, let's just talk about the Father, you know, and Papa, the Father, the need. One of the things that I had this sense is, and maybe I was feeling it as well, you know, when you saw him, and it was just this sense that, you know, we need, I have this image of man as something unique to man, to be protector, provider, and to prepare.
Yeah.
I use those three, to protect, to provide, and to prepare. The idea of a patriarch, that whether we know it or not, we need to be protected and we need to be prepared. In other words, when this is a prepare, it's that you see that one has his eyes on the horizon and can see what's coming and how do we prepare for what is coming. I don't know. It seems to me that people coming in, just the joy, and perhaps the joy for what?
Because this is when I was watching the videos of even on TV, the people cheering. It reminds me of Christ when Christ used to go visit the towns and the people were so excited and they're running. He's coming. He's the vicar of Christ. He's the servant of Christ, and I also too wonder what it's going through his mind to the Pope.
Sure.
Seeing all these people, and he's probably thinking, these are your children. They're coming here to see you. They love you, and they need you. And I am your servant, and that's why I'm here, to bring them your love, your protection. So, and for those who don't know you, so that they come to know you, to love you, and to serve you as we all are servants of the Lord. As he called himself the servant of servants.
So there's a need. There's something that the people want.
Even you, Father, when you go on your retreat, and when you're not here, well, you could feel it because you're our Father, our pastor, and you could see when you come back, people are happy because it's you. All of you you're our spiritual fathers, and that's very important to have the patriarch.
Yeah. I mean, there was so much, for years already, there's been so much, such a movement against the patriarch, you know, in a negative sense, I can understand, you know, if people have been abused by the patriarchy, you know, but again, I go back to this need for protection, this need for preparation. What was the other one? To provide.
Provide.
Provide. Jerry, what do you think? I mean, you see these, just the droves, the people. You mentioned last week, you know, on a more, from another perspective, that some people perhaps, you know, looking, because it's just, you know, to be with the crowd. And for them, it may be a superstar. Mm-hmm. But for most people, I really had this sincere sense that it was like we're going to be okay.
And this is how it used to be more in the world, in my world. That we knew at certain times when we were with certain people, when we're with the family, when we're with the church, it's a great place to be, and we're all better off for being together. There is so much disconnect in the world today, so many people going in their own directions, which is their right, but it's very sterile. And this is warm. This is warm. This is full of love and caring and sharing. And it's very important. We human beings need things like this. We don't need all this, well, all these dumb toys that people think are so essential. And get together with people. Everything isn't perfect in the world. I have a brother that was drove me nuts many times. It's not like everything is fine all the time. But there is such goodness in people. And we need to share with each other, and we can help each other.
I think that was his certainly his commentary on the family. And it was when mm-hmm. when he put aside the his script or his mm-hmm. his text, and he just began to speak about the, you know, God's love is not egotistical.
Right.
It had to be poured out of him, and the family is really family when it's able to open its arms to receive all that love. Then he goes on to speak about the reality that, you know, that there, and again he mentioned the thing about plates flying and the problem with the mother-in-law and all that kind of stuff.
The mother-in-law.
But he, but you know, very very simple, very real. But the
sure.
very the real things of life on a day-to-day basis. Excuse me.
He's keeping it real.
But no, that, but that nonetheless, exactly. But mm-hmm. but hate. He says hate wouldn't work.
Mm-mm.
But love enables us to bear with each other, mm-hmm. you know, to, mm-hmm. to deal with each other's idiosyncrasies and quirks and bad habits or, you know, failings and all that. But we stay mm-hmm. together. We don't,
yeah.
again, it's, again, this idea that we don't discard. Mm-hmm. We don't discard. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that he, I can't believe we're almost at the end of the hour. I truly, you know, and it's not just because this was the festival of the family, but he's always speaking about the elderly people, the old, the grandparents, the Geraldines. You know, but he's always speaking about the fine wine, you know,
mm-hmm. right?
The wisdom, and that they cannot and must not be discarded, that mm-hmm. they must be heard, that we must attend to them and listen to them. And he speaks, so he's got this regard for the wisdom that comes from those who are older, and of course the innocence of the young. Jesus said that in the gospel today, right? Let the little mm-hmm. children come to me, mm-hmm. because to them belongs the kingdom of God. Or did he say that? He said they were arguing over who's the most important.
Oh yes,
the disciples. And he says, and he brought a child over, and he says, you know, you got to be the least of all, right?
Yes,
like this child. But small and innocent and receptive and open, you know, to the message, to the good, to the beautiful. He talked about that a lot, about the mm-hmm. beautiful. I thought it was a very balanced, the whole papal visit was very, very balanced. And if you cover it all, if you look at all that he said, you'll see that he didn't leave a rock unturned.
No.
He didn't leave, and it was 100% Catholic, and you know, people say, "Well, you know, he's taking us away from our." No. It's all there. And I go back to what you were saying, Christine. I think it's very important. We need that humility to listen, to be receptive, because we do. The thing is, see, we're in a difficult situation, and he doesn't deny that. He sees it, but he's got that joy that is contagious, and of course, you can have that joy when you're in those kind of situations, but he's got to go back to the ordinary as well.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, you know, you look the look on his face sometimes doesn't convey joy. Sometimes he looks like he's pretty angry. He really does. Sometimes he does. Or disturbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, there's, it's just like going over to the school, you know? I might be having a very stressful day. I might be angry. I might be ready to give up or whatever.
Because I made you angry.
Because it's Christina.
It's my fault.
It's her fault. And so if I go to the school, the children, you just see the children.
Yes.
And it's disarming.
Mm-hmm.
It's disarming. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing. And that's well, he's el Papa, no? So he sees everybody as mm-hmm. children. When he spoke to the Congress, more so with the Congress, with the UN it was a little bit different. There was a seriousness, really a seriousness about that talk, I thought, an urgency to what he was saying. It's because I do think he's got an apocalyptic vision. I really do. I've heard enough of, enough to give me that impression that we can't. In some of his writing, even before he became Pope. And by the way, you know, people who knew him before, they said, what happened to him? Because when he went into the papacy, all of a sudden, he's like a different man.
Mm-hmm.
He's got this joy and this peace.
And it was interesting, Father, when he was raised, when he came out to the balcony, he had that look. I mean, you're wondering what was going through his mind. He had that serious look.
Sure.
At that point, he wasn't smiling yet.
I see that serious look a lot with him, you know. But he even said, he said that because people have asked him about that, because he didn't have that in
that joy
in Argentina. That's the impression I got from many people who described this radical change. And he was maybe a little bit, and I'm not going to make him try to compare myself to the Pope, but if I can be a bit severe, and I don't think I'm severe at all. I think it's just sometimes, you know, because it's like, why are these things happening? They don't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be, but what's it going to take to wake us up? You know, do we see that if we do not protect and safeguard and give the children a foundation in the faith, then we condemn ourselves? And isn't that the case? You know, of course I believe in the power of God's grace and God's presence, but again, the Lord has to, we have to be receptive.
Right.
And sad to say, but people hit rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They hit rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there is that receptivity to God. But we shouldn't have to lead them into that place, that dark place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a healthy family, a holy family, not perfect, but whatever. So, but the, we're out of time now, but the Pope Francis, in response to, well, what happened to you? He says, you know, he said when, and evidently it was when he was on the balcony, on the overlooking the square of St. Peter. He said, I can't explain it. He said, something happened.
Mm.
He said, a peace came over me, and he said, it's never left. It's never gone. That's what he says.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. You know? But he did in the interview on the plane, I can't find it right now, I got all this paper here, but I didn't refer to any of this stuff, but he talked about the his fear. He fears himself, you know, that he's just not capable, or I'm using my own words, but it's he's trying. He's trying. That's why he keeps asking people, keep me in
pray
your prayers.
Yes.
Pray for me. He said that again.
Yeah. You can imagine.
Yes.
So anyway, what do we, I don't want to say bon viaggio. No, I forgot even how to say that, you know, the safe trip, but he's already home.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Back. So, but we have to thank God. It was a blessed, really a very blessed week for the people of God, for the church, for non-believers as well.
Sure.
Because he certainly did bring him in. So, all right, everybody, we shall go or say goodbye, you know. Thanks for being with us very much. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
Touch me.